Lord, we humble ourselves before you and before your word. And God, we ask that you will speak to us. God, that by your Spirit, that your word will be the scalpel that it needs to be, the living balm that it needs to be, the water that it needs to be for us, Lord God. God, I want to get out of the way and let you speak to us. So God, will you give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand what you have for us today. In your name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. Today we're talking about all in a day's rest. So in Mark chapter 2, there are five different stories where there is conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. And we're going to get the last two of them today. And both of them are about something that has happened on the Sabbath, on the day of rest. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 2, but before we get there, okay, in order for us to understand more of what's going on in these conflict that Jesus is having with the Pharisees, we need to understand what is the Sabbath and why was it important, okay? Because there's going to be two instances where Jesus and his disciples are doing something that the Pharisees consider illegal and against the law on the Sabbath. And but why was the Sabbath so important? So let's look, and we will get in Mark in a little bit, but just a little bit of context for us. So Exodus chapter 20, okay, this is the Ten Commandments, right? So when God is beginning his covenant with Moses, with his people at Mount Sinai, they've just been rescued out of Egypt. So this is one of the commandments that God says they are supposed to do. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughter, your male or female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you. So even a foreigner that is staying with you is not supposed to do any work on the seventh day. That's what the Sabbath was, the seventh day. And then here's the reason why God says he gave this to them. He says, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart. So God has given the Sabbath to his people, to Moses. Okay, it was meant to be a sign of the covenant, something that would set them apart from the other nations in the world. Because on that day, on Saturday, they were to do no work. Okay, he's like, not you, not your son, not your daughter, not your servants, not the foreigner that's staying with you. You're not supposed to do any work that day. And why was it? God goes back to, because it's following the example that God gave. He's like, I created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day I rested from my work. Now, it's not because God was like, oh, making the universe is tiring, I got to rest. It's not why, okay? But it's the idea of God finished it, and now he can step back and rest because he's finished his work. And so God says, I've set apart that day. I've set it aside. I've made it holy for you. And so as my people, as a sign that you're my people to be set apart from the world, I'm commanding you to do this. Okay, so that's where the commandment came from. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, when Moses is kind of recapping the law before he passes away, this is added on to the end of that verse. Okay, so not just because it's the example God gave when he created the world and then rested, but he says, look, observe the Sabbath, keep it holy, don't do any work. Why? He says this, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So this commandment for God's people through Moses, that covenant to observe the Sabbath, was something that is reflected back from God's example in Genesis. But in here, he connects it. He's like, look, you used to be slaves. Now, how often do slaves work? 24/7. They're always on call. Anytime, especially the slaves in you know, like if you read the accounts in Exodus, like they were brutally oppressed. So he's like, you used to be slaves. Your time was not your own. You were at the beck and call of your master. If they wanted to punish you, they could. Now you are a free people. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to remember that you're my people. So I'm giving you this as a day of rest. That you remember I rested from my work to complete it, after it was completed, and you're no longer slaves. So the Sabbath was something that reminded them that they were God's people. It set them apart as God's people. They were different from the world, Okay? They weren't to conduct business on that day. Okay? The foreigners couldn't bring in their goods to the city to trade with. Nope, sorry, we don't do that on the Sabbath. Well, why is that? Because God told us to do this, and because we're His people, and we used to be slaves, but we're not anymore. He's rescued us. That's what the Sabbath was supposed to be about. It was a gift given to His people. Now, I think in some ways it almost can be like a test, so to speak. Because, you know, we talked about that, you know, that song we just sang, it had manna in it, right? So what is manna, okay? And the answer is, what is it? Exactly, okay? That's what it means, okay? God said He'd provide for His people, so every day there was this wafery type food on the ground, and they're like, what is it? I don't know, what is it? What is it? Okay, and that is the word manna. So they just called it, what is it? What is it? It's manna. And every day God provided manna for them, but it wasn't every day, right? Because God says, hey, look, the Sabbath, I really want you to do this. So every day you collect what you need for that day. And they were supposed to all collect a certain amount. And if you decided that you wanted to collect more than that and disobey God, what happened to the leftovers? If you're like, I don't want to have to work tomorrow. I'm just going to get 2 days' worth. Anybody know what happened to the leftovers? It's spoiled. Okay, rotten maggots. Like, not just a little bit. Like, ugh, full of maggots and everything, okay? But God said, hey, on Friday, on the sixth day, gather twice as much as what you need. I know it spoiled the other days, but here's the thing. There's not going to be any manna on the Sabbath. But you can, on this day, gather twice as much, and I will preserve it for you. And then, do they trust Him or not? Right? No, it got full of maggots before. Trust me. Trust me. And it was there. So if any other day, I'm going to take more than what I need, so I have it for the next day. It was rotten and full of maggots. But on that sixth day, they could gather twice as much, and God preserved it for them. Will you trust me? Who is the one that provides for you? That's some of what the Sabbath meant for them. It's also interesting, okay? I was trying to read, like, what are all these verses in the Old Testament that talk about the Sabbath? And I came across this one. You shall work 6 days, but on the seventh day you shall rest, even during plowing time. In harvest you shall rest. Okay? Now, if we don't have too many farmers here. Dale, are you here today? No? Okay, because he would yell something out probably, okay? So during plowing time and harvest, like every second counts, right? You don't know what the rain's going to do. You don't know what's going on. If you don't get the harvest in time, you'll lose the harvest. And what happens if you lose the harvest? That's your everything. Like that is your whole income for the whole year is based on that harvest time. And God told His people, will you trust me? I've given you this as a sign of the covenant, as a sign that you're my people, and just like I provided for you, the manna was enough for you. It stayed the extra day. Even during plowing time and harvest, you can trust me. I'll take care of you. Trust me. So that's kind of what the Sabbath was. It was a gift given to the people. Look, it's good for you to rest. You don't have to work every day. It's good for you to rest. It's good for you to set aside time to gather as God's people, to worship Him. And it's good for you to do that, and you can trust me that I will take care of you. That's the basis of what the Sabbath was. Now, it was very, very important, okay? It wasn't just like, hey, this is a good idea, this is what you should do. Like, do you know that there was like a death penalty associated with breaking the Sabbath? Now, this did not mean that every time somebody broke a Sabbath, they were always put to death. Why? Because we read in the prophets, one of the reasons why they're exiled away is, yes, because they were worshiping other gods, they were faithless, but God also says, you've neglected my Sabbaths. It's in there. Look in the prophets. You are going away for 70 years. Why? Because you neglected keeping my Sabbath every 7 years. There's a special Sabbath every 7 years. They were supposed to let the fields just be fallow. And He's like, you didn't do that. So you skipped 70 years of it. You're going to exile for 70 years. Now, that wasn't the only reason why, okay? But the Sabbath was important. The prophets say, yes, you've been worshiping idols. You've been neglecting God. You're faithless. You're kind of rotten. You're oppressed, the poor. You do all these things. And you neglect God's Sabbath. It was important. And there is, in the narrative of Scripture, I believe it's in the book of Numbers, there is a man who is out collecting firewood on the Sabbath. And they find out about it, and they bring him before the Lord. They're like, what shall we do? And like, he's supposed to die, and they killed him. Okay? The Sabbath was important. So now maybe you understand a little bit where the Pharisees are coming from. Like, this is an important thing. But so much had been added to the Sabbath. It was a gift for God's people to not have to work. It was a sign of the covenant. It was a symbol that I can trust God. God said it's an everlasting covenant between me and between the Jewish people, okay, between his people through Moses. It was something they were supposed to do. You can trust me in it. And throughout the years of Judaism, in their desire to not accidentally break the Sabbath, they added all these extra rules. Well, if you can't carry a burden on the Sabbath, well then, like, you can't carry your wallet or your purse. You can't carry anything out of your house. Like, they just made it become this bigger thing than what it needed to be. I was even reading something this week where there's like 39 different things that if you're an Orthodox Jew that you can't do, okay? And here's one of them, okay? On the Day of Atonement, which is the most holy day of the Jewish year, they would blow the shofar, you know, like the really cool ram's horn. That's really hard to like make a cool noise, but like that. They would blow that, okay? But here's the thing. What if your synagogue didn't have one? Or what if it was broken and you had to go borrow somebody else's on that day, and the Day of Atonement happened to be on a Sabbath? Well, then you'd have to carry a shofar from your home to the synagogue to blow it, and that would be carrying a burden, and you'd be breaking the Sabbath. That's where their mind was going. So, no blowing shofars on Sabbath. Because just in case it lined up that a Sabbath was on the Day of Atonement and you didn't have one, you won't accidentally break the law. Do you see how it became? No, this is it. Don't work. Don't carry your produce down into town to sell it. Became, you can't blow the shofar on a Sabbath because we don't want you to accidentally do it. You see, the thing about the Pharisees is it's not just that they interpreted the law too strictly, but it's like in trying to break it down to make it simple, they created all these extra things so you want to get close to it. But then they're destroying the freedom that God wanted to give. They're taking the gift away. So we're going to see in these two stories of Jesus that the gift of the Sabbath has now become a burden. It's not how it was desired to be. Okay, but we wanted to get a little bit like, this Sabbath is important. Okay? For like in the covenant, in the old covenant, it was given to his people. They were supposed to keep it. It was a serious thing. Okay, so we at least want to get that. Everybody got that? Okay, now let's see Jesus' confrontation with the Pharisees in Mark chapter 2. And it happened that he, Jesus, was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. The Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now, here's a really interesting thing, okay? For you and I, maybe what we wouldn't say is, look what they're doing. They're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. We'd be like, look what they're doing. They're stealing, right? Like, that's not your field. You can't do that. But guess what? In the law, God had said, hey, if you're walking through your neighbor's vineyard, you can grab some grapes and eat them, but you can't fill up a basket, okay? And when you're going through the grain fields, you can grab some and eat it, but you can't take a sickle, okay? So you can't like just be like, oh, I'm going to harvest my neighbor's stuff, but it's like, it's okay, I'm a little hungry, I can eat some, right? So the Pharisees aren't like, oh, you're stealing, because they weren't, okay? We would be like, wait, what are they doing, okay? But here's what they're saying, okay? They've added to the command. They're like, you are reaping and threshing on the Sabbath. You are doing work. How are they reaping? Picking something, rubbing it like this to get the chaff off, and eating it. And the Pharisees are like, that's reaping and threshing. Okay? Now, if you've ever been a farmer and reaped and threshed, you'd be like, no, that's not work. But you see what they were doing? They're adding to it. And so they're accusing him. So how does Jesus respond? Okay? I love this. Have you never read? Do you know who he's talking to? Like the Pharisees. And he's like, have you never read the Bible? Have you ever read the Old Testament? Like they probably had it memorized, okay? You know, it'd be like asking your mechanic, like, have you ever worked on a car before? You ever seen the inside of an engine? Okay? Yeah. Okay? You know, but that's what he says. Wait a minute. Have you never read? Let me tell you this story. What David did when he was in need and his companions, and he became hungry. He entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the consecrated bread, which is not lawful for anyone to eat except the priest. And he also gave it to those who were with him. So what is Jesus talking about? He's saying, look, there is, in the book of 1 Samuel, okay, David was fleeing from Saul because Saul tried to kill him. Okay, Saul, you know, got really mad and chucked a spear at him, and David knows he's got to get out of there, and so he's leaving, and he's got no food, and he's kind of on the run, so he's like, hey, my men and I, we need some food, and the priest is like, well, the only food I have is these 12 loaves of bread that we're commanded in the Old Testament from the covenant given to Moses. We bake 12 loaves of bread every Sabbath. We put them out before the Lord as a testimony, and then we take the old ones, and the priest can eat the old ones, and only the priest, and only in a holy place. Like, that was the law God gave. And David's like, yeah, but we're really hungry and we need those things. And the priest said, okay, take them. And when you read all of Scripture, like, David wasn't struck dead. Like, he wasn't punished for that. That this was the law and regulation that God had given, and yet the needs of David took priority over that letter of the law. And we know that because Jesus is also using this as an example, okay? You think that my disciples are breaking the Sabbath because of what they're doing, but you've missed the heart of the Sabbath. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's not a burden. And then we see that, then Jesus says this, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Because you see, to Jesus, the Sabbath was not created for its own sake. It was a gift of God to man. Okay, its purpose was not to put man in a kind of straitjacket. It was for his good, to provide rest from labor, and it was an opportunity for worship. That this is what God had given. And then Jesus says, well, I guess when we look at this, we don't know whether, is this Jesus saying, so the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath? Or is it the Holy Spirit through Mark giving a little bit of a tagline after it, okay? So in the New American Standard, they put it as Jesus is the one who said this. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. Don't forget that it's a blessing. Don't forget that it's a gift. Don't forget it's a sign of the covenant. You're making into a straitjacket. You've missed the heart of it. You've missed the heart of it. And then in the next chapter, we get this. Jesus entered again into a synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. So he's got like a paralyzed hand, so he can't reach it out. So, you know, and the Pharisees, they're watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath so they might accuse him. Because in their tradition, you could not heal somebody on the Sabbath unless it was like life or death, okay? So, you know, somebody breaks their arm, sorry, can't set your arm today, tomorrow. Somebody's cardiac arrest, you can do CPR. Because that's life or death. Broken arm, wait till tomorrow. Well, actually, wait till sunset. Okay? That was in their tradition. That's the law they made. So they're watching. Oh, here's our chance. We're going to get him. Because they know he can heal. They've seen his compassion. Let's see what he does. And this is what Jesus does. Like, he doesn't be like, hey, I'll heal you in a bit. He says, get up, come forward. Like, brings him right in on the middle. And then he says this to the Pharisees. Is it lawful to do good or to harm on the Sabbath? To save a life or to kill? So he asks him a question. Is it lawful for me to do good on the Sabbath or to do harm? To save or to kill? And they were silent. And then get this, okay? After looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, Jesus was angry. Now, it's interesting. We look at the verb tenses and stuff in the Greek, that the anger is like past tense. Like, looking at them with anger, he was continuously grieved. So the anger is like he's looking at them with anger, but it's rooted in that grieving of his spirit. And why is he grieving? He's deeply distressed. It's like this righteous indignation rooted in compassion due to their stubborn hearts and consistent failure to recognize who he really was. They miss the gift of the Sabbath. They're just seeking to condemn him. Is it lawful to do good or evil, to heal and save or to kill? And here's a really interesting thing. They're silent, so he says, stretch out your hand. And the guy stretched it out. His hand was restored. He was healed, and the Pharisees went out and immediately began conspiring with the Herodians against Jesus as how they might destroy him. So here's the interesting thing. Is it lawful to heal and to save or to kill and destroy? And what do the Pharisees do? They see Jesus heal, so they immediately go out to conspire to kill and destroy Jesus on the Sabbath, right? So, what do we learn a little bit about this, okay? Well, first of all, really interesting thing. So, like, if you were to have the Pharisees over here and the Herodians over here, like, never shall the two mix. Okay? Pharisees were very conservative, very much wanted to live out God's law, wanted the Torah, wanted to live that way. And the Herodians were ones that were supportive of Herod, who was the king, who was backed by the Romans. Let's keep the status quo. Let's make sure that Rome is okay. And they found a common enemy in Jesus because the Pharisees didn't like Jesus' power and authority. They wanted to be the Lord of the Sabbath. Who could do what on the Sabbath? To be able to control and be the rulers, so to speak. And the Herodians saw Jesus as this potential political unrest figure that if things get dicey here, Rome's going to come in and then we'll lose our influence. But they found a common enemy in Jesus there. So what are some of the things that we can learn from this? Okay, so first of all, I want to answer this question. Is keeping the Sabbath required of Christians? Okay? So in the Old Testament, it's given to God's people. It says it's a sign of the covenant. It's an everlasting sign. Okay? So are we required to keep the Sabbath as Christians? Well, I don't think so. And here's why. Okay? In the book of Acts, chapter 15, they're having this big debate. In order to become a Christian, do the Gentiles have to become Jews and follow the law? That's their big debate. And they said it seemed good to us in the Holy Spirit that no, you don't, okay? But here in verse 20, they said, here's some things to abstain from. Abstain from food contaminated by idols, from fornication, from what is strangled, and from blood. So basically, those are things that would have been common in the worship of idols. Stay away from worshiping idols. All the different covenant things in the Old Testament, circumcision, I would say Sabbath, other things like that, you don't need to do. Here's the things that to us in the Holy Spirit it seemed good to do, and I think behind it is all the moral law that God has given, but that the Sabbath wasn't transferred to Christians. We also see more of this in the book of Colossians, okay? Paul has said, this is after he's talked about how you have new life in Christ and all the decrees set against you have been nailed to the cross. He says this, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These things are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. So Paul says, look, nobody needs to judge you about the things that you eat or the things you wear or whether you celebrate the holy days from the Old Testament or you keep the Sabbath or not. Why? They're shadows that pointed to Jesus. They find their fulfillment in Him. So it's up to you how you want to do that. But your salvation doesn't come from that. In the book of Romans, Paul expands it a little bit more. Okay, we're just going to read through this. He says, one person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. So one person is like, every day is alike, and one person's like, we need to follow the Sabbath. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. So, like, what is important to you? If you feel it's important for you to do, do it. If not, that's okay. But then he says this, he who observes a day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. So he's like, if you observe the day, it's not about you, it's about for the Lord. Then he says, he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. Or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord. So what's the important thing from this? Who do we belong to? The Lord. So he's like, look, if you want to observe the Sabbath or these other things, then do it for the Lord. And if it's not important, do it for the Lord. And don't judge one another. Don't look down on each other. God's the one who's the judge. God's the one that's going to allow us to stand before Him. And the last verse in the New Testament about the Sabbath I want to read is, the Sabbath points forward. So in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, hey, look, when Joshua led the people into the promised land, he led them to a place of rest, but it wasn't a final rest. Okay, so there's still a Sabbath rest for the people of God, talking about us. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his work as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. So here's really what the Sabbath is for Christians. It's looking forward to the rest from our work that comes in the eternal kingdom, in heaven. When the new heaven and the new earth, right? Where there is rest from work And our job is be diligent to enter that rest. And the question I would have for us is, how do we enter that rest? It's not by what we do. It's about believing in Jesus Christ, accepting His sacrifice on the cross. So from those verses, what are some principles of the Sabbath we could look at? Okay, the importance of rest. As humans, we do need to rest. It's important for us to find the places in our life that we can rest. That it's not 24/7, 375, whatever, whatever. Keep going. Your body will break down. It's just important, right? The importance of setting aside time for worship. It's important for us that we belong to the Lord, that we set aside time to worship Him, to gather together as His people. And it's important for us to remember the freedom we have in Christ and not judging one another. Another principle is trusting in God to provide. That we can trust in God to provide for us. Now, does that mean that we have to keep the Sabbath to show that trust? No. But that was one of the ways in the Old Testament God's people trusted Him to provide. Even during plowing and harvest, this is how God wants me to live. I'll do it God's way more than my way, and I trust in Him. I think that's a general principle we can find. When we live God's way instead of our way, we're trusting Him to provide. So what does all this mean for us today? What's some of the so what's we can take from this? Because you know what? Probably a lot of you don't think about the Sabbath every week. I mean, I don't necessarily think about the Sabbath every week. I think it's important to find times of rest, times to worship, times for my family. Like, that's important. But I'm not thinking of it like this is a sign of me being God's person, okay? Because that's the old covenant. But what do we get out of here is the heart of the law. Where have we added our own traditions that do harm? Because you see, the thing wasn't the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a gift. It was all the things the Pharisees added to it that was making it into a straitjacket and a burden. And a question I want to ask you and ask us is, where do we see that we've added our own traditions that are roadblocks and barriers to people coming to Christ? That we put our traditions on equal footing or even above the Word of God? When that's not the case, that's not what it's supposed to be, just like the Pharisees. And the next part is, are we letting God's word hit us in the heart or just in the mind? I mean, if you were to look in the Gospels, like who in the Gospels knew the Scriptures the best besides Jesus, you know, the author? Who knew it the best? Pharisees. Jesus told them, you search the Scriptures because you think in them you find life. Well, guess what? We do. But He says, you don't realize that they point to me. You see, we love getting in God's Word. That's important for us. That's part of what it means for us to be Skiff Lake Bible Church, is we read His Word. We want to know what it means. We want to live it out. But here's the thing. If we just let it hit us in the head, it's easy for us to become like Pharisees. We need to let God's Word hit us in the heart. It can be really easy for us to be like, well, I know this, but I'm choosing to live this way. Rather than going, I bring my whole self to you, God, and your word, and I want to let you impact every instance of my life. We need to not just be studying the Scriptures, but we let the Scriptures study us and change us. Then the other question I have for us is, do we live like Pharisees? Jesus said this about the Pharisees. He said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He said they're like whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones. You're like a cup that's been cleaned all shiny, but on the inside it's just full of nastiness and gunk. And here's the thing, okay? It's because the Pharisees were more concerned about how they looked like to other people than their actual relationship with God. And you know what? That can be really easy for us to fall into, right? Where we focus more on what we look like and what we exude rather than what's really in our heart. And you see, God is not looking for plastic fantastics who get everything right. But He wants real people who really love Him, who really trust in Him, to really bring their whole selves to Him and be like, God, change me from the inside out. Because you know what? I may look this way, but inside, God, you know the things I struggle with. And I don't want to just be cleaned up on the outside. I want you to change my heart. You see, the biggest issue that Jesus had with the Pharisees was it was a heart issue. They were unwilling to surrender to him. You see, the person who's coming as a king and a savior is only good news for those that don't want to be the king and the savior, right? One of the things I was studying this week, the man said, some people would rather drown than have somebody throw them a life ring and hold on to it. So what about us? What are our hearts like? How can we this week bring our full self to God, open up our hearts and be like, Lord, you know this already, but I just want to be honest with myself and with you. And God, will you bring real change inside? I don't want to just know you here. I want to know you here. And you know what? If we look at that passage from Hebrews, I think that's the way that we enter that rest. That we bring our whole hearts to God. Recognize it's not what we do or what we don't do, but it's about recognizing our absolute need of Christ. Because that's the biggest thing the Pharisees missed. We're good. I got it. I can do it. I'm really focused on doing the right thing. I don't need Jesus. May that not be our hearts. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Jesus, I just thank you that you are Lord of the Sabbath. God, I just ask for your wisdom in our own lives of what are the ways that we've added traditions or added our own things that are roadblocks to how you want to move, that make things that should be a gift into a burden. Just give us wisdom, Lord. And God, will you give us the boldness to let go of those things, to not let them stand in the way of others. God, I pray you'll help us not to live and act like Pharisees, that we're so concerned with how we look and our reputation and what we know instead of letting you really impact us and change our hearts and change our lives. God, we know we could never be saved by doing good enough or not doing bad. We know we're saved by only your grace. And God, I thank you that your grace desires not just to leave us unchanged. So God, will you help us to humbly submit to you, to let you clean us from the inside out. Help us to live for you. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.